6:18. And again, the goal for next week, we really want to keep all the preliminaries short, get Pastor Bennett up to preach and and give him enough time so that we can still get out of here at a decent time, knowing that you all have to go back to work the next day and get up and do a lot of other things. So we understand that and want to be mindful of your time. Ephesians 6:18 is where we're going to be at tonight. I'm just going to read that one verse, talk about a little bit, and point out some particulars about prayer before we actually go into prayer. And most of this, for the majority of us, this is going to be review. But nonetheless, I still want to go ahead and just refresh us on Ephesians 6:18. If you found your place there, go ahead and stand with me. We're going to read just that one verse, Ephesians 6:18. Then we'll go to the Lord in prayer. Ephesians 6:18, because we're going to make much of prayer here tonight so that the revival meeting goes well. Let's go ahead and read Ephesians 6:18 together. Amen. Here we go. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. That's pretty comprehensive. You see the word all three times. Praying always with all prayer, supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. So we see that word all three times, and we're going to look at some things tonight in regards to prayer, and then by God's grace, go into prayer and get God's hand on our anniversary and on our revival. Father, thank you so much for your instruction in the Bible that you give us, Lord. You let us know how we can and should pray. And Lord, I pray that as we do go into prayer tonight, that Lord, you might lead us, you might guide us, you might direct us and give us the wisdom, Lord, and the knowledge and understanding to pray according to thy will. Lord, we know that if we pray according to your will, you hear us. And that's exactly what we want to do, Lord. We don't want to send up haphazard prayers tonight. We don't want to send up prayers that will go amiss. We want to pray according to the word and the will of God. So work in us tonight, Lord. Comfort our hearts, stabilize us, and Lord, strengthen us through the word of God tonight. We may know that we're praying with wisdom, knowledge, and understanding to Almighty God. Thank you for loving us. Now meet our need in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. I don't need to tell you about the times and how the times are, but let me just, by way of introduction, let you in on some things that are going on. By the way, we need more prayer now than we ever needed in times past. Amen. Now we need the word of God. I understand that. We definitely need the word of God. We need that bad. But what we need worse is prayer in regards to the word of God, that we might do the word of God. We're living in times when demonic activity and possession is on the rise, and people are camouflaging it as something else that it is not. And it's demon possession at its best. And we're calling it all sorts of things. Pornographic and immoral lifestyle is becoming commonplace in America and all across the world. Broken homes are expected. And no one is expected to get married pure anymore. Did you know that, folks? Folks don't even expect to be pure anymore. And folks that say they are pure often aren't pure. I mean, and it's almost expected that I'm going to get married and I'm going to get divorced. It's almost expected. Now, I don't know about y'all, but when I went down the aisle with my wife, that was nowhere close to my mindset. My mindset, I'm going to grow old with you. My hair is going to fall out. Well, my hair had already fell out. Amen. But I'm going to get gray. I'm going to get old. I'm going to get saggy and baggy. And we're going to be old together, sitting in rocking chairs. Divorce was not even a thought process. But now people walk into marriage thinking, well, if this doesn't work, I can. Whoa, 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 whoa. And that's accepted. That's expected. Woe unto the folks like Antoinette, praise God. I mean, she wants to get married one of these days and have a family. But for some folks, it's expected. Not only that, gay marriage is legal. Transgender behavior has White House backing. Terrorists have gone amok and just gone wild. Combine that with teens and young people that have thoughts, have bought into humanistic philosophy that man is good and man can be God, and the evolutionary theory that God and evolution can coexist, and top it all off with parents that want godliness for their children and society that does not. And society beats against them with full raging force. And folks, that's 2016. We need prayer. Our nation needs prayer. I mean, if we're going to have Christian home that can withstand Satan's onslaught, we have got to protect our families with prayer. And we've got to stand toe to toe and arm to arm and say, let's pray for our family, because the devil is after them. You know, my kids are in a Christian school, and just the stuff that they hear in the Christian school and in the world around, I think, well, wait a minute, what's going on? And so, folks, you know, on and on I could go, but, you know, it's time that, you know, we've got to pray. We really do. Ephesians 6:18 gives us a laundry list. And by the way, probably here in October on Sunday, two Sunday nights, I'm going to talk about, you know, things that you want to look for in picking godly leadership as we approach our election. And, you know, things that I'm going to talk to you about, most folks are going to say, you're crazy, you're a lunatic. We would never pick someone like that. But, you know, you got to put the standard out there to have something to shoot for. Amen. You know, you don't want to put the standard down so low that you vote for, you know, a lowlife. And so if the standard is here, maybe we may not have anybody that's there, but at least we've got something to shoot for. Because you know what? The next time candidacy comes around, there may be somebody like that that actually can stand for God and has the what's the word I'm looking for? The stickability and the backing and the support. To get up and not be ashamed at doing it God's way. I look at some of these ads that attack people that are pro-life, and they just attack them to the core, make them sound like a bunch of lunatic people that don't have a brain or heart. And that's not true. But folks, it is bad. It is bad. It is bad. So Ephesians 6:18, dealing with prayer and a revival prayer preparation. What we want to do, by the way, the book of Ephesians is a textbook manual for the successful Christian. Paul gives the Ephesian believers everything they need in these six chapters to be a successful Christian. Did you know that? Chapters 1-3, let me give you this, primarily deal with their wealth in Christ or all they possess now that they're saved. By the way, do you know all that we have just because that we're saved? I mean, our Father is rich. Our Father owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. Our Father possesses it all, and he's ours. Let's remember that he has it all. And we've got wealth in Christ. I mean, you think about it. This world has nothing to offer compared to what we've got in glory. Nothing. Now, God said we can use this world, but not abuse it. But chapters 1-3 deal with our wealth in Christ. Chapters 4, 5, and 6 primarily deal with our walk in Christ or our practices that we should have now that we are saved. And by the time you come over to chapter number 6 and verse 10, Paul says, finally, or lastly, or in conclusion, notice this, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Notice nothing in there is ours. Finally, my brethren, be strong where? In the Lord. And where? And in the power of whose might? His might. What does he tell us to do? Put on the whole armor of who? God. That ye, that's us, may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. It tells you why in verse number 12. And he gives you the armor down there, verses 13 through 17. By the way, verse 12 reminds you and I that this is a spiritual battle that we're facing. The devil does not want revival. The devil does not want a 15-year anniversary to see a 16-year anniversary. Do you know that they said the statistics said that more churches closed their doors down in the past 5 years since they started keeping records? Wow. More preachers are leaving the pastorate now than ever. I mentioned to you about Matt Kretzman. He's selling insurance now, real estate. Stan Helm had to come off the field because of health reasons. The Etheringtons had to come off the field because of immorality. DeVar Williams had to come off. You know, the devil is just laughing at that and clapping and applauding. One less church a witness that I have. So prayer is imperative for you and I to get involved in. Let's look at several things here with this. We're just going to kind of pick out some words that we can look at here. Let's look at the necessity of prayer, first of all. Notice in verse number 18, he says praying. Praying always with all prayer and supplication. The first word I want to look at is praying. The word necessity, I've called this point necessity of prayer. The word necessity has the meaning of something that we can't do without, or something that's unavoidable or indispensable. We cannot go without praying. Say, preacher, why not? We got saved by praying. We get forgiven by praying. We get right with God by praying. We're going to get everything else that we need from God by praying. So we got saved by praying. We get forgiven by praying. We communicate with God by praying. There is a necessity of prayer. Praying means the act of requesting, or the doing of it. In Luke 11, 1, the Bible says, and it came to pass that as he was praying, Jesus, that is, in a certain place, when he sees one of his disciples said unto him, Lord, teach us to pray, as John taught his disciples. And we know about that passage. And I find it amazing that he didn't say, teach us how to pray. Can everybody talk? If you can talk, you know how to pray. Because prayer is just talking to God. It's just that simple. I'm working with my children right now on the aspect of praying. And I'm trying to teach them right now to share their heart with God. I said, don't give God what you think he wants to hear. Don't give him a bunch of platitudes, and don't give him a bunch of, well, God, I know you want to hear this. No, I said, give God your heart. Tell him how you really feel deep down inside, because he knows already. I said, and when you pray, be real. You don't like your homework. I know you don't like it. But I was with Joshua last night. We were doing some homework, and everybody else got a chance to go do something else. And I said, Joshua, you have such a good attitude about your homework. I said, praise God for it. He said, I'm glad you think so, Daddy, because on the inside, it's not that way. I said, he was just real. He's like, look, I'm trying to make sure that I keep a good face. He said, but on the inside, it is not the same as what's on the outside. He's just being real, and I appreciate that. I said, I thank you for being real. You know, he wasn't being smart aleck or anything like that. He's just like, you know, I'm trying to do this thing with the best of my ability, but I don't like it. You know, when it comes to God, we can be real when we pray to him. Don't give him what you think he wants to hear. Now, he wants to hear the word of God. Amen. But if you don't know the word of God, be real and say, Lord, you know, I'm at a loss for words right now. Lord, I just don't know where I'm at right now. God, I don't understand what's going on right now. Why me? Why here? Why now? Why my mom? Why my dad? Why my children? Why my boss? Why my coworkers? Lord, why? I don't get this. You know, and God always comes back and says, be still. And know that I'm God. He always comes back and gives you a word of encouragement from the scriptures. I'll strengthen thine heart. Wait on the Lord. Be of good courage. He shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. And so praying is what we need to do. We need not so much be taught how to pray, because we all know how to pray, but to pray. Amen. We know how. We just need to do it. Amen. Often God allows us to be in situations so that we will pray. My wife full well knew she was going back, and she didn't know what to expect. And so she prayed, God, I don't know what I'm going to see when I get back. We were in for a huge, huge shock when her sister died. Her sister had AIDS. And by the time we got back, AIDS had just taken her body, and she did not even look like the same person. And nobody prepared us for that. And we walked in, and we looked, and my wife, if she could have fallen down and fainted, she would have fallen down. Her pigmentation was gone. She was a skeleton of a person. Her skin was all sunk in. She looked almost like a skeleton. She looked that bad. And my wife tried to make sure that she didn't show the horror to her sister as to how she really looked. But in those times, you can say, God, I wasn't expecting that. And Lord, I don't know how to deal with this. And God, I really don't know what to say about this. But praying is the act of doing it, the necessity of prayer. We've got to do it. And we see the necessity of prayer. But there's something else over here as well, the frequency in prayer. It says praying always. Frequency has the idea of going to something often or habitually. We are to be involved in praying frequently or always. By the way, unsaved people often or always smoke or drink or curse or do something when they get stressed out. You know what the Christians should do when we get stressed out? Pray. I was up with Joshua last night, and I said, Joshua, I said, I know you're tired and this, that, and the other. And bless his heart, out of nowhere, He said, Lord, please help my daddy. I know he doesn't want to be up with me right now, and help me to have a good attitude. But out of nowhere, wait a minute, I should have been doing that. I should have been doing that. I should have been praying for him. You know, and I was praying, Lord, help him to get done. I want to go to bed and help him to hurry up. Instead, I should have said, Lord, pray that I can encourage my son. He don't want to be up anymore, and I want to. And out of the blue, he just prayed. I was so convicted, Pastor White. I was so convicted. I said, oh, shame on me. Shame on me. My son's got to pray for me. Amen. But praying always. The unsaved people, they normally will do often strange things when they get stressed or when they get frustrated. But the Christian should always pray and always ask God, oh, Lord, what's going on? Always means in all times, in every situation, in every instance, in every season. It's the idea of having an awareness of the presence of God and being in constant communion or agreement with him. By the way, how many of y'all can see Serge Lapar right now? Don't turn around. How many of y'all can see Serge Lapar? Nobody? How many of y'all know he's here? How do you know he's here and you can't see him? He could have walked out. I could have been playing a trick on y'all. Amen. Yes, Garrett? He's always here. Amen. That's a good one. I didn't think about that one. Amen. He's always here. He's manning his post. He's there. And that's the attitude of praying always, always with the understanding that God is there. He's there. He's not going anywhere. By the way, he said, I'm Lord, I change not. He is omnipotent, omnipresent, and omniscient. He's always there. So when we pray, we can pray always because he's always there. He's always listening. He's always right there. He is just that far away. Why? He's always there. And so when the Bible says praying always, there's a necessity of prayer, but there's a frequency of prayer. God wants us to pray always. Amen. Children, all the Faithy, who bless her heart, mom's gone. And she's like, Daddy, I can come and sleep with you if you want. You got that big old bed by yourself. And I know you don't want to be by yourself. And so I can come and sleep with you. I said, that's all right. She said, no, it's not a problem. You're scared and this, that, and the other. What you think? When I'm scared, I want to come in there with you. Amen. Mom ain't here. And I said, that's fine. That's fine, Faith. I'm okay. She's like, well, if you want me to come in there, I can come in there because I know how it is to be alone. And so I can come in there. I said, bless her heart. She wants me to know that, hey, look, I'm always here. I'm always here. I can do that. God is the same way. And so he's saying praying always, the necessity of prayer and the frequency of prayer, the awareness that God is always there. Luke 18:1, and he spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint. The word faint means to give up, to cease, or to grow weary or tired. And so Jesus let us know that in all times, in every instance, in every season, we need to pray and not faint and not give up. By the way, God doesn't always answer our prayers the way that we think he should or the way we want him to. Sam just went through this. He lost his dad. I'm sure he would have said, hey, look, you know, give me a little bit more time so I can get there. And Lord, let me get there expeditiously and not all this water in Louisiana that I got to detour through. And God said no. And sometimes we wonder, God, why? Why? We don't understand. And you know, we can be real with God. We can. Why? He's God. And he understands you better than you understand yourself. And going into revival, we've got to say, Lord, examine my heart. Lord, where am I at? What do I need? What's going to get me revived? What's going to get me jump-started? What's going to keep me going? What's going to keep me focused? Lord, what do I need? Praying always, the necessity of prayer, the frequency of prayer. But then the diversity of prayer. Just praying always with all prayer and supplication. Diversity means the variety or difference in prayer. When you get involved in finances and getting into banking, they tell you diversify. Diversify your portfolio. How many of y'all heard that phrase? What does that literally mean? Diversify your portfolio. Who's one of the banker gurus out here? Yeah, Jenny? Scatter it around. If I put it all in Exxon Mobil, y'all remember what happened to Exxon, right? They went down. Or BP that had the big spill out there. Or now, which bank is that that's getting sued now? Wells Fargo. If you put all your eggs in one basket, it might go down quick. My dad had that problem. He had some investments, and I mean, he had made a bunch of money. My mom kept saying, take that money out. Take it out and only leave a little bit. I'm going to go one more week. And then Katrina happened and wiped all his money out. And he was so upset. And my mom said, see, Al, you should listen to me. And he should have. Amen. Diversify. Diversity of prayer. Notice the general aspects of prayer. It says all prayer. All prayer refers to the different kinds of prayer that is performed in public, in the family, in the closet, in business, on the way, in the heart, without a voice, and with the voice from the heart, men's meetings, ladies' meetings, at church, at school, and the supermarket. All prayer would include general or basic aspects of prayer. This would encompass confession, intercession, adoration, thanksgiving, pray. That's the general, specific, general prayer in general. Lord, bless us, whatever. But it's not specific. It's just general, going the whole gamut. And so Paul says here, I want you to pray with all prayer, some general things of confession and intercession and adoration and thanksgiving, and pray that way. By the way, in Job 42 in verse number 10, the Lord turned the captivity of Job when he prayed for his friends. It doesn't say what he prayed for. It just said he prayed for his friends. Now, we can only imagine that Job probably went to God and said, Lord, forgive these clowns. They had no clue what you were doing. They had good intentions, Lord, but they beat me up. They beat me up with their word. They didn't understand what was going on. I was innocent all the time. We don't really know what he prayed, but it says he prayed for his friends. It doesn't say what he prayed for. Now, what would you have prayed for? Get him, Lord. Show him, I'm innocent. Oh, clown, see what they did to me. Now y'all feel bad, don't you, that you did this to me? But it said he turned the captivity of Job when he prayed for his friends, and the Lord gave Job twice as much as he had before. All prayer makes you feel better all over. It's like washing all over. Amen. One thing that we have to get on our kids about, wash behind your ears, wash your ears, wash your neck. You know, and the obvious answer comes back, goes, why? Look at your shirt collar. And that should answer your why question. Girls, I probably don't have that problem. I don't know. Ladies, who got girls? You had to tell girls to wash the neck? You do? And the ears too? You do? I thought it was just a boy thing. You got to tell the girls that. Amen. I thought it was just a boy thing. Amen. But, wash your neck. What's wrong with my neck? It's dirty. Wash your ears. My wife, she goes in, cleans some of the ears, and the kids see the stuff that comes. Oh, that was in my ears. Yeah. And that's just half of it. So, all prayer does make you feel good all over, amen, because it's like washing all over, because we cover confession, intercession, adoration, and thanksgiving and praise, and we cover a wide variety of things in there. He said praying always with all prayer, but then he says and supplication. That's specific acts of prayer. Supplication deals with specific aspects of prayer, and we pray over this list here. There's going to be some specific things that we're asking you to pray for and about when it comes to the revival meeting. And so supplication deals with specific acts of prayer. The type of prayer relies on God's ability to meet specific and personal needs. James 5:18 says this, Elias was a man subject to like passions as we are, and he prayed earnestly that it might not specifically rain, and not just rain, and it rained not on the earth by the space of 3 years and 6 months. And he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth brought forth her fruit. What did he do? He said, it's not going to rain until I say so. 3.5 years. And guess what? It didn't rain. When he went back to God, and guess what? It rained. That's specific prayer. There's some specific things that we need to see happen this week. We need to see God work in our hearts. We need to see God use Pastor Bennett. We need to see joy restored in the Christian. We need to see healing. We need to see some health. We need to see some contentment. We need to see a lot of things happen in our lives during revival time, because when revival happens in the heart and the Christian gets right with God, it just makes everything else around him better. Remember what happened to Jonah when he got revived? What happened to him? Whole town got right with God. I remember when I was at my base in Belgium, and when I got saved, man, I came in and I lit that place up. They didn't know what hit them, because I didn't really know what had hit me yet. The only thing I know is I got saved and I felt good about it. I was excited. That's all I knew. I was excited, and I wanted everybody to know how excited I was. And they said, why don't you stop all this stuff? I said, no. I said, why? I said, did I tell you to stop your foolishness and your dirty jokes? So why are you going to stop me? You know what they did? They said, well, if we stop talking, will you stop? I said, no. I said, I got something good. You got something bad. I said, you need what I have. Amen. So what I have will help you with what you got that's bad. Amen. I said, because I was on the other side with you just last week. Amen. So supplication, specific prayers. Amen. So we see the diversity of prayer and also the sincerity in prayer. Notice what it says, praying always with all prayer and supplication. That's the general and the specific, but then the sincerity in prayer in the spirit. Sincerity means truthful, genuine, or honest. That's why we ought to pray in the spirit, or as the spirit of God would lead, or as the spirit of God is leading, according to the will of God and the word of God. And by the way, sometimes we don't know what to pray. That's why Romans 8 is there. Turn over to Romans 8 real quick with me. My wife found herself there yesterday. And she said, I really just don't know what to pray. She said, I don't want to see my mom suffer, but I don't want her to go either. Romans 8, and notice verse number 26. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, our weaknesses, our inabilities to pray. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought. If we knew how to pray as we ought, guess what we would do? We'd pray it. But sometimes, you ever been that way? You lost for words and you know God understands all. You're just kind of in front of God like, what do you want? I really don't know what I want and I don't really know what I need. And so, Lord, have mercy on me. Give me what I need because I don't know. I don't know. But he says down there, as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings, which cannot be uttered. And he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints, according to the will of God. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose, for whom he did foreknow. He also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son. He might be the firstborn among many brethren. Did you know that oftentimes the things that happen in our lives that we don't understand that we're going to God in prayer about, it's designed to make us more like Jesus Christ. And we don't really understand how this could make us more like Christ. We don't comprehend it. We say, Lord, this could make me more like Christ. This is making me more mad. This is making me more like this. This is making me more frustrated. This is making me more like this. And he said, that's my point. We've got to work off some of those rough edges. We've got to work off some of those spots. We've got to work out some of those kinks. And that's why I'm sending you through this, because I want you to look more like my Son. And the Bible says, hey, conform to the image of his dear Son. Verse 30, moreover, whom he did predestinate, then he also called. And whom he called, then he also justified. Whom he justified, then he also glorified. God is good. God works in our lives. And so oftentimes we're going to have times when we don't know what to pray. And that's why the sincerity in prayer, in the spirit is there. By the way, it's not talking about speaking in some unknown tongue or language. It's talking about speaking so that the Spirit of God speaks through you using intelligible words by the Word of God. And the Spirit of God does his job as well. Diversity, meaning the variety or the difference in prayer. Prayer is broken down into parts, the general aspects of prayer, all prayer, and then specific aspects. And then we go into the adversity in prayer. Notice what it goes on to say, or the vigilancy in prayer, I'm sorry. Notice what it says down there, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the spirit and watching thereunto. How many of you ever had your child been sick in the night and they threw up or they had a high spiking fever or something like that? And you had to do what? You had to watch. You had to watch. I remember the one time G2 passed out for no reason at all, just passed out. And my wife liked to die. She liked to have a fit. I mean, he just flat out just went limp, stopped breathing, and my wife hit the roof. I mean, this was the firstborn. We didn't have Joshua at that time. We didn't have Faith. We only had one, and it took us 20 years to get the one. Do you know how bad my wife panicked? I mean, she was livid. You know what she did over the next several days? She watched. She watched to see if this was going to reoccur, because she didn't want it to reoccur and she not be there. She had to watch. So he says to watch thereunto. Vigilancy in prayer, vigilance means to stay watchful and alert to danger or trouble. The word watching literally means to lie sleepless. We are encouraged to lie sleepless, watching and praying over certain things. And we could stand to lose a little sleep over our spiritual lives and our families and our friends and the condition of our churches and the condition of our state and our nation and our country and our world. We could give up some things by way of sleep. But you know what? Oftentimes, the sleep monster catches us and we give up too soon. But watching thereunto. And so when you look at this prayer life that he's putting out there before us, he says, and watching thereunto. By the way, one of the main reasons why you and I need to be vigilant in prayer, because the devil doesn't sleep. Remember in the Garden of Gethsemane, Jesus said, sit here and watch and pray. And what'd they do? They went to sleep. He came back and woke them up and went away. And what happened? They went back to sleep. It happens, folks. It happens. Now, I know we're all spiritual in here, and none of us have ever fallen asleep in prayer. All of us have fallen asleep in prayer. You didn't even know where you left off at. You didn't even know last thing you asked for. And then when you start asking for that last thing again, you fall asleep again. And then you start asking for it again, and you fall asleep again. And again, and again, and again. The devil makes sure that you're going to fall asleep in your prayers. Why? Because he knows that that's the power of God. And he knows that. Now, by the way, let me give you this illustration. Let's just suppose that I am Brother Duffy's father. And Brother Gary is the big, bad bully that's beating up everybody in the schoolyard. And so Brother Duffy's going to come to me as the dad and tell on Bully. But Bully doesn't want him to tell. Bully, what's going to happen if he tells me about you? You're going to beat him up. Well, that's what the devil does. He does do that. Amen. But the devil does not want you as the child of God to come to your father, because he knows your father will respond and do business to the devil. And he don't want that. So the devil's going to try to hinder your prayers. And anyway, don't tell your father. I'll do something for you. I'll give you candy. I'll give you money. I'll do anything. But just don't tell your dad, because if you tell your dad, he's going to come after me. And then he's going to tell my dad. And so the devil doesn't want you to pray. And so he hinders your prayers. That's why the Bible says watching thereunto with all perseverance, because he knows that if we can get down, by the way, the feeblest of child can go to the Lord. Did you know that? I mean, you don't have to walk on water like Peter. You don't have to be in the ship in the storm of Euroclodon like Paul was. You can be the lowliest of saints with not a whole lot, because the power is not in you. The power is in God. You don't have to be strong at all. All you have to do is be able to go to your father and say, help. And guess what? I watch cartoons. And Tom and Jerry, the dog Spike had, something happened to Spike, and Jerry let him out. And he said, you just blow this whistle when you need me. And every time Tom would come back, guess what? Jerry would blow that whistle or whatever. He blew some whistle or something like that. And boy, that dog came and put a hurting on Jerry. And you know what Tom tried to do to Jerry? Zip his lips so he couldn't whistle. Because he knew if he whistled, he's going to call. And guess what? That's what Satan wants to do. He wants to make sure that we don't call by giving us substitutes. Folks, when we go into prayer, let's call. And as feeble as we are, God is strong. And he can answer the feeblest of prayers. So the power is not in us. The power is in Almighty God. And so when you look at this, he says, in praying always with all prayer and supplication in the spirit and watching thereunto with all perseverance. Why perseverance? Because there's some adversity in prayer. Wandering thoughts. I pinned this down. I'm going to read this for you. This is so funny. We've got to persevere in prayer because there's some chaos in our prayers. And I think I read this before, but I'm going to read it again. Chaos has the idea of being disorganized. Here are a few struggles that you and I require that require persistence. Our wandering thoughts. It says this: one man's wandering thoughts during prayer. My prayer for Aunt Susie reminds me of her cat. Thoughts of the cat remind me that Jim said there was a mouse in his office. That reminds me to get a mouse trap at the hardware store. The hardware store reminds me of the camera shop next door and all the roll of film I took in to be developed on, and so on. Several minutes later, I realized that I haven't been praying at all. I've been daydreaming. The enemy has been busy. I followed a rabbit trail and got off the thing that I was praying for. I'm sure it's happened to you. It's happened to me. I start praying for one thing, and I'm off on a rabbit trail with something else. And I think, how in the world did I get here? This is not rabbit season. Amen. So the persistence is because we have wandering thoughts, and sometimes we have wicked thoughts. By the way, it is not unusual for Satan to bring wicked thoughts back to your mind. A song that you used to hear back when before you got saved. A friend that you had acquaintance with before you got saved that was less than desirable. Some things that happened in your life, maybe a book that you read or a billboard that you saw or a movie that you watched or some blasphemous words that someone else said or even certain, some of the things that you even said. Satan dredges up filth that is lying and stagnant and rotten in our hearts, and he brings that up in our thought life to say, see, there you go. See, look at you. You're wicked. Why does God even want to listen to you? And we've got to get the victory over that. And so persistence in prayer is necessary just to pray and get God's hand on our lives. And by the way, there is some watching that needs to happen. Mark 14:38, watch ye and pray lest ye enter in temptation. The spirit truly is ready, but the flesh is weak, Jesus told his disciples. And so this adversity in prayer, all perseverance in prayer, because our wandering thoughts are alive. Our wicked thoughts sometimes are alive. But he says, pray. And how does he want us to pray? Notice this last one. With all perseverance and supplication for all saints. In other words, getting engaged in praying, not just for me, but for all the saints as well. Why? We all face the same thing. And so specifically, if you know someone has a weak point, guess what? You can pray for them. If you know they've got a struggle with something, you can pray for them. I remember Miss Shirley used to always say that when she first got saved, pray for my cigarettes. It's a habit. I got to get rid of that. And she said, look, I'm struggling with this. Church, pray for me. And she finally got the victory over that. But she said, look, I'm struggling and I need you specifically to pray for me. Pray for whatever God's got to do in my life to get rid of that. How many of y'all remember her praying like that? I mean, she would stand up in front of the church. She said, look, I don't like this. It's a nasty habit. It's dirty. It's filthy. God doesn't like it. But I'm struggling. Somebody, please pray. Hey, folks, we can do that. Supplication for all saints. As we go into prayer and praying for this list, folks, Ephesians 6:18 gives us a very, very comprehensive list of how to pray. The necessity of prayer, praying, the frequency, praying always, diversity of prayer, all prayer and supplication. It's general prayer, all prayer, specific, that's supplication, sincerity in prayer, that's in the spirit, vigilancy in prayer, watching thereunto, then the adversity in prayer with all perseverance. Why? Because we're going to have some wandering and wicked thoughts at times and sometimes even get sleepy. And the practicality in prayer, it's got to be supplication for all saints, folks. We're all in this together. We're all trying to go into this anniversary together and get revived together. The needs are varied. The needs are many. You know, Mrs. Dawson, just being one of many, many needs that are out there. So when we break down the prayer, let's really look at the list and try to get some prayers up. And I know we don't have time to go over everything in the prayer bulletin, but certain things that stick out for you that you know you need to pray for, or maybe your family, or maybe your job, or maybe your boss, or maybe your church, or maybe your own personal life. Pick some areas out. Maybe Pastor Bennett, you're looking for some direction in a specific area. And you say, Lord, give Pastor Bennett wisdom to preach just the way I need to hear it, to let me know that this is what you want me to do, whatever it may be. But let's make sure that we're praying generally, but then specifically, all prayer and supplication, asking God to do something in our lives, asking him to revive us, to keep us revived, whatever it takes, Lord, let's do it in our lives. And so use Ephesians 6:18 as a measuring stick, but then as a guide, as a rule of some things that you know we need. Use your prayer list that we gave for revival. Of course, you also have this one as well. And let's do some praying tonight. Don't forget, Leslie's and the Hollers are traveling this weekend along with Andrea, who is there. Don't forget the offering is going to be given this Sunday as well. So be in prayer about that. How much God would have you to give towards the $3,000. We can pay another extra payment. That would be great. I want to try to get the building paid off in a quick fashion. Amen. So let's do this. Let's. It's right now at 7:02. The kids will be released over there at 7:15. So let's take about 12, 13 minutes and pray with a partner over some of the things here. If you want to pray with a family, that